stand wherever you are and lift your hands. Begin to thank God for your life. Just begin to love on Jesus this morning, wherever you are, with your hands lifted. Look for one thing that God did for you in this month. Today is the 20th. For the last 20 days, in the last 10 months of your walk in 2019, surely and certainly God did something for you. And you want to lift up holy hands and just thank God for your life. Thank Him for your family. Lift your voice and pray the Holy Ghost. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy of all the adoration. He's worthy of all the praise. He's worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. For you are holy. Lift your hands. Holy. Are you Lord God? Lift your hands. Almighty. Everybody, with your hands lifted above your head. Worthy is the Lamb. Come on now.
Worthy.
Worthy
is the Lamb.
Oh, you are holy. Begin to love on Jesus.
Holy.
Are you Lord God?
Are you Lord God? Almighty,
worthy
is the Lamb.
Worthy
is the Lamb.
You are holy. You are holy.
Holy.
Everybody lift your hands, sing it higher.
Are you Lord God?
Hey!
Almighty.
Worthy
is the Lamb.
Worthy
is the Lamb.
Amen. You deserve the glory. Lift your hands and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we bless your holy name. Come on, praise us.
You deserve the glory
and the honor. Lord, we in worship, come on now, as we bless your holy name, sing it up for you.
You are praised, you do the miracles, oh praise, there is no one else like you.
Thank you.
Begin to praise him. Begin to adore him. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our worship all over the place. Lift your voice. Shandadadabahai. Lift your voice and love on Jesus. Love on Jesus. He's worthy. Lift your hands. He has promised he will never fail. Little bit sound in my monitors. I will adore him. I will adore him. Everybody.
He has promised he will never fail. His
to three persons and tell them what God did for you. Tell them one thing that God did for you. Tell them one thing that God did for you. I didn't ask you to tell them what you did for him. I said, tell them what God did for you. Move from your seat, go to somebody and tell them what God did for you. Please move. I'm done. Tell them what God did for you. He delivered you from cancer. He gave you a safe delivery. He gave you a new job. He gave you a husband. He gave you a wife. Tell them what God did for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at your neighbor and ask him or her, what did the Lord do for you in this season? God richly bless you. You may be seated in heavenly places. I'm super excited to be alive, to be part of what God has begun in our midst and also universally. We are thankful unto God for his loving kindness, his preservation, indemnity, sequester, and covering over our lives. If you travel on the Accra Aflawo Road or the Accra Elubo Road, you will not count less than 15 accidents. And if we are alive today, we use the motorway, we use the sprinters. Every week we go and we come and we are still basking in glory and bouncing in joy and blooming in grace. Then you ought to stand on your feet and give the Lord a shout of thanksgiving. Give the Lord a clap offering, a hand of applause, and a shout of thanksgiving. Glory, glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. You may be seated in heavenly places. Last week, we took off on an amazing journey. We understood the role of foundations in life and destiny. And we established last week that the quality of every foundation determines the quality of every construction. The effort we put into foundation determines the effect we see with the construction. Effort at the foundation translates into effects on the construction. And we established last week that everywhere the foundation is compromised, the construction will be challenged. Most of our problems are there because we, over the years, are victims of foundational challenges. Then we went further to zero in on the determinant of foundation. We established last week that foundations determines the strength of the structure, determines the stability or the durability of the structure. How long a building will last will determine is determined by its foundation. We also went ahead to establish that foundations determines stature. That is the height and the tallness of every structure. It is not possible to use a dwarf foundation for a skyscraper. We went ahead to establish also that foundations determines the future or the destiny of every construction. What can be done with my life? The overall outcome of a structure is determined by its foundation. So last week we had an amazing session whilst God granted us the grace to glean wisdom from biblical principles. And we saw in Job 4 verse 19, he says that there is houses of clay and foundation is in the dust which are crushed before the mouth. When foundations are weak, we see destruction becoming compulsory. So there were two powerful nuggets of wisdom that I promoted before your rationale. I said, the future is in complete jeopardy if the foundation is not in order. It is easier to uphold principles than to correct consequences. And we also established that it is not possible to end at the right place while following the wrong way. Destiny is never in view while principles are out of place. You will never reach where God wants you to be if the principles of right living are out of place. So then, what are the ways? The Lord gave us two insights. We must lay foundation of righteousness for our lives and destiny. And number two, we must lay foundation of scriptural standards. For instance, if you're a child of God and you are not a tither, never expect prosperity. No matter how wealthy you become, you will lose all your resources. Because tithing is the foremost step of the covenant of abundance. Take it or leave it. If you're a man of God, you're a woman of God, you're a child of God, and you are not prayerful, understand that there is an extent of power that you'll be limited in. If you are not a man or a woman who believes in fasting, then know that you will not be fast and last in destiny. So these are scriptural principles that helps us to maximize destiny. Then on Wednesday, we began to journey in from the foundations of godliness to the way of godliness. Look at someone said the way of godliness. Just a little bit recap for those of us who were not here on Wednesday. We said from Isaiah 35 verse 8, and an highway shall be there, a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, those fools shall not err therein. So on Wednesday, we understood the secret of upright living in a wicked, sin-filled, sin-infested, sinful world. Jesus speaking in Matthew 24 verse 12, he says that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall grow very cold. Then we gave a very powerful scripture from 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 to 5 where we saw the denominators of the last days. So we saw that men shall be unthankful, men shall be evil. We saw every little bit of what is happening in our world today, we saw it in scripture. So what should we do? What way should we follow? What do we do? What is our responsibilities? 7 things that we have to do as the way of godliness. Number one, we say live in the word. Look at someone say, live in the word. We establish that the word cleanses our mind and lives from the stain of evil. A continuous washing with the word. 1b, we said the word keeps us in the fear of God. Studying the word, listening to the message preached, it keeps you in the fear of God. Number two, we said live in prayer. Live in prayer. Prayer whitens your garment. Luke 9:29. And he prayed, and the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. As you hang around the place of prayer, you are changed from glory to glory. So the lifestyle of prayer intensifies spirituality and minimizes carnality. When a person is prayerful, his spirit takes ascendancy over his flesh. We also establish as 2b that staying around God at the place of prayer transforms character. A person becomes more loving, compassionate, sincere, honest, the more he stays around God. Praise the Lord. So the word keeps you away from sin. And prayer gives you the power to overcome sin. Praise the Lord. Number three, we said avoid the wrong company and association. Because wrong company affects mindset, and mindset affects lifestyle. Are you being blessed this morning? Anybody you call a friend is changing you. Is influencing you directly or indirectly, because association brings assimilation. You absorb the character of whoever you hang around with. Praise the Lord. There are people who come to church and they are still wrong company. We established that Judas from Iscariot was in church. We also established a very amazing point last Wednesday that the ark of Noah had the snake and the snail all in the ark. There are people who steps into your life and they move you from maximum to minimum. Praise the Lord. Most of our problems we have faced is not from the devil, it's from church folks. So avoid wrong company. How do you know? By their fruit you shall know them. By the way they act, by the way they talk, by the way they react to situations, you will know them. Number four, we say rely on the grace of God. Look at someone say, rely on the grace of God. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. Titus chapter 2 verse 11. Paul speaking in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Grace instruct upright living. And grace empowers people to say no to the wrong. Then we said, and maintain a pure conscience. Ensure that your conscience remains pure and tender. Paul speaking in Acts chapter 24 verse 16. We said, herein I exercise myself to have always a conscience, void of offense towards God and towards man. Paul speaking in Acts 23 verse 1 says, I have lived in God good conscience before God until this day. A pure conscience means that sin is not excused. A pure conscience means wrong is never accommodated. A pure conscience means your heart is too tender to be comfortable with iniquity. If you can feel guilty, you can live holy. Where the conscience is alive, sin has no future. Number six, we said submit to godly authority. Praise the Lord. We said what? Submit to what? Submit to what? I'm just recapping. Submit to godly authority. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 to 5. It gives us how men are disobedient to authority. And in Acts chapter, we saw also that a whole year they assembled themselves with a church and taught much people authority. Submission and accountability to spiritual authority enhances character and integrity. When you are answerable to spiritual authority, you are conscious in action. If you are accountable to no one, you just act anyhow. So godly authority, godly instructions brings about godly transformation. Continuous instruction shapes your life and character. Now people, they take no instruction from anyone. They don't want anybody to be bossy on them. They don't want to be directed. They don't want to receive reprimand, scolding. They don't want to receive correction. They get offended when you put them right. Praise the Lord. My wife will tell you, I was sharing the discipleship class this morning. I traveled to Takoradi on Friday with a 12 o'clock flight. I was with my son Ivan. One-way ticket, it's 500 Ghana, with my friend Pastor Sammy. So the three of us is 1,500. Prepared myself. I stood here on Wednesday and I announced, hey, Takoradi, I'm coming. Put the flight, did the video in America. I'm excited. The gentleman says, sir, you preach for me tonight, I'm going to give you 10,000 Ghana. I was excited. I've done my budget. So Officer Sammy says, you give me 1,000 out of the 10,000. When I got to Takoradi, my spiritual father said, you can't preach. Go back to Accra. Say godly authority. Shout godly authority. The Akroma Plaza was packed with over 500 people. I'm a UCC alumni, so the youth I influenced during my UCC days, Western region, Central region, young guys that want to see, there are people they have seen on the social media. They want to see the preaching machine. I was going to preach, I'm too desperate to be denied. I have rehearsed my message 3 times in my head. Rhyme everything. I deliberately decided to go and scatter Takoradi. Break the place. I was excited. My offering was already prepared. Praise the Lord. So when I got down, I took my tithe. I went to my spiritual father's house, Bishop Samuel Osetutu. I went to greet him, drop my offering. He said, son, go back to Accra. You can't preach for this young man. Spiritual authority. I'm a big man, one of the world-known prophets. One of the best refined prophets you can find around the world. I'm one of the most celebrated prophets in America today from Africa. My spiritual father said, you can preach for him and you lose your relationship with me. Or you go back to Accra because I'm not in agreement. Now watch this. This young man is a very humble man. Very humble. The young man is so humble. Quiet, unassuming. Young guy of just 25 years. He has gathered over 450 youths. But the thing is, he has gathered, but his gathering is out of order. You can't rebel against spiritual authority. He did not graduate from the Bible school that he is in. But his bishop told him, do this. He could not do it. He went his own way. And the people around the young man were all people. They were all those who have rebelled against the church. You hear what I said? So he was doing a good thing, but it was not a great thing. Mama Francisca Duncan Williams was there. They spoke. Reverend Dr. Akwesi Prempeh said, Bernard, you know that me, I'm a man of spiritual authority. This thing is good, but it doesn't have a future. You see, there are things that we see today. You think it is good, but give it time. When people rebel, they have allies. And they will tell you, you have done well. You have done well. Your father is evil. Your father is evil. Give it a time. Pastoring is not a joke. What you don't defeat here, you will live one day to defeat it. So I stayed. I slept in Takoradi, hoping that my father would tell me to preach on Saturday. He said, Bernard, go back to Accra. We tried to get flight. We didn't get flight. So we had to get a car, drive through Cape Coast, and come back to Accra. I came last night without preaching in Takoradi. Because my boss, my spiritual father said, don't preach, go back. And I was happy I listened. Who speaks into your life? Who instructs you? I was not offended. Because it's my spiritual father. I've known Bishop Samuel Setu since 1997. For 21 to 22 years. I was a young man when I went to town hall. This gentleman on the camera, turn and look at him. He was there. Enjoy Bishop, he was there. His brother, his big brother, is the vice president of Breakthrough Family Chapel. Godly authority. Godly authority. Hey. Godly authority. Who speaks into your life is very important. Who you are listening to can determine your marriage or not your marriage. Your destiny or not your destiny. Thank you, my sister. Who speaks into your life? So godly authority is important. Look at the godly authority. Anything that makes a person stay away from the church, that person is drawing near to disaster. So we said, lastly, we said, number 7, maintain periodic personal spiritual review and retreat. Personal retreat and review. The 10,000 Ghana budget in Yakamiyem. From time to time, interact your own life. Refresh, review. Anything that has not been reviewed cannot be renewed. So that's for Wednesday. Today, the anchors of godliness. Clap your hands for Jesus. The anchors of godliness. Now, if we stand for kings, let us stand for the reading of God's infallible, unadulterated, unchanging, unchangeable word. Ivan, you were there. In the public, what did I do before my father?
You knelt down before him.
In the marketplace. And I was begging for the boy. Public. I knelt down. Father said, go back. I've been married with three children. I'm the head pastor of Destiny Empowerment Chapel. I'm a world traveler all over the world. The name Bernard Taylor has survived many storms. But I knelt before my father. And I was pleading with the young man. He said, Bernard, get up. Go back home. I said, yes, sir. Can somebody command you without being offended? I remember when we were at Dongosala, one gentleman was at the mic. He said, hey, how kasa kasa ye, kotobonku kasa. He stopped chair the next day because I said he's kotobonku. Oh! Offenses. Relationships are not working because of offenses. Careers are being diminished because of offenses. People are walking out of godly relationship because of offenses. May God help the church. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. I hope you are being blessed this morning. The wise man. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. The book of Ecclesiastes records Solomon's reasoning under the sun while he was in a backsliding condition. The word Ecclesiastes means the preacher. And the Bible says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let's read together. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Verse 14. I love the verse 14. The last scripture of the book. It says that, for God shall bring every work into judgment. With every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Let's read together. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it is evil. The anchors of godliness. Father, speak to us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Be seated. Our theological objectivity this morning is to understand the fundamentals that enhances godly lifestyle. To underscore and understand the fundamentals for upright living enhancement. What are those things that I can stand upon to help me live right? What is that understanding that affects my mindset and guides my life in doing the right things before God? Distinguished ladies and gentlemen, by way of introduction, please understand that upright living does not just happen. It is anchored on fundamentals. And when you know these things, influence your mindset. They guide your lifestyle. What are these anchors? Holders. It does not matter how big a car is. When the car breaks down and you want to change a tire, you need a small jack. A small jack can hold an articulator. No matter the size of the car, a small jack can hold it. There are certain things that we treat as trivia, but they are the holders of our destinies. Clap your hands unto Jesus. What are these anchors? Four of them. Number one, the understanding of our purpose for existence. One of my favorite scriptures I quote today again, Isaiah 43, verse 21. The understanding of the purpose of our existence. In Isaiah 43, verse 21, the Lord speaking through his servant, he says, this people, Isaiah 43, verse 21, this people have I formed for myself, that they may show forth my praise. The understanding of your purpose for existence under God's and under God's upright lifestyle. And this understanding has three ramifications. That is, if you know why you are alive as a child of God, it influences how you live. It amazes me that a grown-up can easily be influenced by a child. It surprises me. The best university you can find in this world is the church university. If you want to learn life, become a pastor, a worker, or a student of the church. The best university. That a grown-up can be influenced by a juvenile. Lack understanding. It's like Morris coming to tell me that I should go and steal in their school for him. And I follow him and I go and steal in his school for him. Can you imagine? When they look at me, the way I'm dressed in my suit, my tie, and I do that, they will say, this boy, he lacks understanding. When you lack understanding, your undertakings will be compromised. What are these three ramifications? Number one, man is not on earth accidentally. Man is on earth by the deliberate action of the Creator. Get these fundamentals. The understanding of the purpose of your existence. Number one ramification. Man is not on the earth accidentally. Look at someone say, you are not on the earth accidentally. Man is on the earth by the deliberate action of the Creator. We did not just happen to be on the earth. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 27. Somebody created us. You were created. You were there in eternity before time. You were once a thought on the mind of God. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So, verse 27, God created. So God created man. So you are not a biological mistake. You are neither a genetic error. You are conception of an ideal in the mind of God that moved from the ethereal, ontological, and became a physical being as you are seated here. Man was created. It is a deliberate action by the Creator. Understand that. 1b, since man did not decide to be created, man cannot decide to live anyhow. Since your creation was not your decision, then your way of life, your lifestyle should not be your decision. How to live was decided for us by the Creator. He gave us commandment on how to live. And Solomon, when he was backsliding, God opened his eyes and he wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 to 14. He says, let us now come to terms with the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and observe to do all his commandments. That is life. Man was created to give pleasure and not pain to his creator. Pleasure. You are a creation of God to bring your creator pleasure and not pain. You are a deliberate creation of God. Look at someone say, God deliberately created you. Man was created to bring honor and praise to his God. Isaiah 43 verse 21. These people have I formed for myself that they may show forth my praise. When you understand the purpose of your creation, your existence becomes pleasurable. Living becomes delightful because you know why you are living. I'm telling you, there are people, they smile, they jump, they go to work, they come back, but they don't know. They are just following the routine of life. Obi yebi no, obi su yebi. I say, I should come for now. Now, Kronfono, on Maki, one guy. He said, I'm on any tea area. The next day, or 10, you're born in tree. I said, hey, I'll tell our broom, say, broom, bibia. Obi, you also give. Someone is doing it, you're also doing it. You are just living. No purpose. There is a purpose to your creation. How do you discover that purpose? You want to know where your strength is. What you do that gives you the greatest joy, that's where your strength is. Me, if I've not preached for 1 week, I feel like I've sinned forever. That's my purpose. The born preacher.
This is an anchor for godliness. I know who I am and I'm living in that purpose.
To give God pleasure, not pain. I am not a biological mistake. I just didn't happen. I'm not a product of two sexual intercourse. No. I was on the mind of God before my conception. Are you in church this morning?
The second anchor for godliness is walking in love for God.
Moses, are you alive? The whole week I've not heard of you.
Walking in love for God.
Tap your neighbor and say,
walking in love for God.
Walking in love for God.
Mark chapter 12.
Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians, scribes came to ask Jesus a very difficult question. They said, Master, Rabbi, teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the word of God? And Jesus answers them from verse 29, 30 and 31. Jesus looks at the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Herodians, the scribes. And verse 29 he said,
and Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one.
Verse 30.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God.
Look at this.
With all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment.
Agabas, are you here? Failure Zumahataya. Jesus answered this Pharisee, scribe, law, lawyer, Herodians, Sadducees. What is the best commandment? Is it thou shalt not kill? Thou shalt not commit adultery? Thou shalt not steal? He says the best, the first commandment every day when you wake up in, and you see that you are alive. The first thing to do is to love God. Sir, come, sir. Get up and come. Sir, come. Please, sir, come. Don't worry. I know you're a big man. But when you come to church, you are no more big. Sir, carry this chair for me. Let me see something. Carry it. Watch this. Carry it. Look at that. What did he use to carry the strength? Oh, I'm sorry. I've already showed you. Preaching is not easy. What did he use? Sir, come back. What did he use to carry the chair? Put it down. Sir, carry it again. This time lift it higher. What did he use? Drop it. So God says, don't waste this strength on anger. Don't waste it on fruitless things. Use this strength to love me.
For you shall love the Lord thy God with all. With all. With all. Love God with your heart. Love God with your mind. Love God with your soul. I feel like preaching here. Love God with your strength. Don't give your strength to that useless man who will chop you and leave you and leave you heartbroken. But give that strength to God. Am I talking to somebody? Lift your leg and shout it. This is the first commandment. When I wake up in the morning, if there is a commandment I need to fulfill, it's to love my God. Am I talking to somebody? Before I love my wife, I must love God. Before I love my children, I must love God. Before I love my family, I must love God. When I wake up in the morning, the first person I must tell I love you is God. Jesus, I love you. Thank you for preserving me. Thank you for keeping me. Thank you for watching over me. I'm grateful for the life you have given to me. Slap your neighbor and say, love God. Why are you wasting your strength on things that are not necessary? Not everything demands an answer. One of my daughters asked me, say, Papa, so do you see sometimes the things they write? I say, I see everything. But you see, the Bible says, and the father observed the sayings whilst the brothers were hating Joseph. Fathers watch and observe. Fathers don't talk. Fathers speak, they don't talk. Don't use the energy to
hate, use it to laugh.
Don't waste your heart on people who has no heart for you. Use that heart on God. Am I talking to somebody? You will love God with all your heart. You will love God with all your mind. You will love God with all your soul. You will love God with all your mind. Throw your hands up and shout, I love you.
Take your seat. Love God. Just love God. That's
when you wake up in the morning,
just love God. Just love God. Okay? It takes 75,838 nerves to frown. It only takes 3 nerves to smile. Why would you waste over 70,000 nerves to muna your face against somebody who doesn't care about you,
while you can smile through life? Am I talking to somebody? Slap your neighbor and say, it's not worth it.
Go and check it. Go to Google and check it.
It takes more to be sad. It takes less
to be happy. When you go to a rich man's house, you expect that they will eat trophy. You will expect that they will eat very serious pork. You expect that they will eat serious, very serious combination. But you see that a rich man is eating gobe or is eating brazil to tin. So pretend it. Brazil to tin. Or is eating soakings. And you are there trying to compete with this rich man. You are buying makeups that you can't afford. Shoes that you can't afford. When you go to Instagram, you will see broke women trying to impress the world. I'm telling you, just love God and your life will be in order. Slap your neighbor and say, love God, baby. Love God. The meaning is, if you love God passionately, the number of commandments you will struggle to keep will be minimal. Love God.
And when our love for God is complete,
you will not be struggling to fulfill other guidelines. You see, you can't love God and hate at the same time. You can't. Can't love God and hate at the same time. Don't use your time to love God to hate a brother. That's why most of our blessings have been delayed. You can't love God and hate at the same time. Praise the Lord.
How does love for God affect upright living?
2A.
Love for God places in the heart of man
the desire to bring God satisfaction. When you love God, it puts in your heart
the desire
to bring God satisfaction with our actions and lifestyle. When you love God,
whatever will give God pain,
you run away from it. If you are passionately in love with God, passionately in love. When Jesus came into town, a voice came from heaven and said, this is my beloved son, beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Matthew 3, verse 17.
When you love God passionately,
you can never be comfortable in a wicked and iniquitous world. Wickedness.
To be, love for God causes man
to value both God and his word. Love for God. Look at someone say, love for God.
Love enhances
the value of the one you love. How many of you watched early 2000 or I'm sure mid 2000, you watched The King's Maid by Yvonne Nelson? How, that was the first movie John Dumelo did when he came to the limelight, apart from the one he did when he was a child. There was an arranged betrothal for him, but his love went to a maid. And they didn't understand why there's exquisite finesse, wealth, honor, prestige, dignity associated with a royal lady, and you are going for a maid, a common maid. Love enhances the value of the one you love.
When you love God, you will love his word. You will value his word.
So Jesus speaking in John 14 verse 15.
If you love me, keep my commandment. So love for God enhances our honor and value for him and his word.
So you don't take God for granted. You don't take his word cheaply. You value him.
The Lord said to me, at the root of an iniquitous lifestyle
is the absence of love for God. 2C, love for God causes man to spend time with God. And that transforms man into his likeness and nature. Love for God. Time in his word.
Time in prayer. Love for God
will make you spend time. My body is adjusted, adapted, and adopted to dawn waking up now. Without a wake-up call, the body itself wakes up. Even if you don't have the desire to pray, the body itself is programmed. You have to make sure that you get into his presence. You can't sleep till 9 a.m. and expect to be productive. Love for God.
Anybody you love, you spend time with. You enjoy the person's company. When you struggle to give, struggle to pray, struggle to come to church, struggle to pay your tithe,
it means that your love terminal is low. Your love terminal is low. It does not matter how a beautiful car is. You need a battery to spark the car. And if the battery is not working, bring a Lincoln Navigator, an Escalade, bring a Maserati, bring a Mustang, bring whatever car. The car is beautiful, but can never be sparked because there is no battery. What will spark your Christian life is love for God, love for his word, love to walk in honor of his word,
love to obey his word, love to serve in his house, love to spend time with him.
Paul speaking in 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we are changed from glory to glory. Psalm 17 verse 15. You cannot hang around God and hang around evil at the same time. David speaking, he says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. So, if there are people who are wicked and they are still worshipful, they have a dual identity. It is very serious. How can you be a worship person filled with the Holy Ghost? You are so blessed by God. When you come to church, everybody loves you. But you are filled with deceit, filled with wickedness, filled with anger, bitterness. You are filled with evil. It is love for God that helps you to remain with God permanently. You enjoy His company. You enjoy His word. You enjoy His presence. And the more like Him you become, the more unlike the devil you also become. The more you love what he loves and hate what he hates, it establishes you in his kingdom. When a person literally walks in wickedness, he doesn't know why he's alive. Praise the Lord. I say he doesn't know why he's alive. One young man, I and my wife, hosted him in my house when they threw him off his house for 8 months. He lived with us for 8 months. Last year, December, we rented him a house. I went to preach in America. My first offering, I sent it to him. And today this young man says, I am not from God. I am the devil. He talks against me as if I'm not a human being. The same young man my wife fed for 8 months. The same young man. This house he's living in now, I and my wife rented it for him. He says, no, I'm not from God. I'm wicked. I'm a devil. I'm a devil. You are sleeping in my house. I'm a devil. You ate my wife's. And the amazing thing is the suit he wore last 2 weeks, I gave him the suit. This is wickedness. It's media. Mommy, hey, yo, this is wickedness. This is wickedness. Let me tell you something. Anybody who speaks so evil against people who have helped them, when you see people like that, run away. When you see people like that, I say, run away. You have done church 4 times, your church collapsed. So if church is easy, why has yours collapsed 4 times? And you came to serve here. And now I am a devil, I am evil, I am this, I am that. Somebody, I have fed you before. This is wickedness. And when you are a young man coming up, and you bite the hands that has once fed you, you will never go far in ministry. You will have people that support you, but how long will they support you? It's a principle.
When people walk in wickedness
and they claim they love God, that cannot be God. We are about to make you a down for the senosa. It's wickedness. You can't claim Jesus is in your life. What you have not seen, you are seeing it. What you have not heard, you are seeing it. You fabricate stories. You magnify stories. Things you have not seen, you say you have seen it. Let us African people learn to be appreciative and thankful. When you thank God, your tank will always be full. God brings human beings as tributaries, trajectories, and conduits of his blessing. Answer na ahomebe usuro no. Ese fa duaso.
Number three, understanding the purpose of our existence, understanding our purpose
makes us serve God easily.
Loving God
makes us serve God easily. Number three, love for people. Wait, let me take my time and teach it and let us close. Love for people, love for people shows that you are a Christian. My son, stand up. Yesterday was your birthday. I saw you giving to people. I was happy. I was happy. I didn't call you. I was just watching. Me, my chapa papa, me eko subi amini. Eh, me no best real. But me and your wife, you say, me need me eko. Let me comment on what you did. When I saw it, I was happy. Because you are not a millionaire. But the little that God has given to you, you shared it with the less privileged. So I have seen it. I didn't call you, but other people too have seen it. How much more God? Into obi o ase. Mi pere yi ma hwe kura, mi pere ni ma hwe. Mi pese me tin memory di memory di. Ey. If this heart stops 1 minute, boom. This heart stops 30 seconds. My sister, I have a picture I need to show you. When someone dies, 7 days, what happens? I imagine, how many of you have seen that picture? I imagine myself dead in 7 days. The biologically describes what happens when a man dies, 7 days. Human beings. The next day, you start smelling. The odor that comes from human body is the highest and the strongest type of odor than even 55 animals that have died 2 days, put them together. Human beings smell more than anything that smell after 2 days. So when you are a Christian, you claim God lives in you, and you hate people with passion. In fact, check who lives in you. It is the devil that lives in you.
Love for people. Mark chapter 12,
verse 31.
The first commandment to obey
as a Christian is to love God. Wait, Jesus Nekayo. Jesus said it. The second commandment to obey. Bring me that scripture.
And the second is like, namely, this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This is none other commandment greater than these things.
Two commandments, that is the greatest. For Christians, from the mouth of the Messiah, love God, love your neighbor. Every day, if you can obey these two commandments, you are enough set for prosperity.
Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor.
This week, I'll be going to Cape Coast to pray for somebody.
I remember many years ago, I did a conference called Seizing the Moment. One pastor, I went to my spiritual father's house. So from whom you are, go out. Elders are talking. Go out. You are not a pastor. Go out, you are a small boy. Go out. Hey, guess what? I brought my guests to come and preach for me. This man embarrassed me. And there were some women there. And one thing I can't stand is when a woman is there, you embarrass me. Blast me. My wife can tell you that. Hey, Papa, wait. Get out from here, Bernard. Go out. You are a small boy. Before Kasam, elders are talking, you are here. Go out. Hey. This year, but Ben, I see PAP. Ben, I see PAP. No problem. Today, this man is on bed with stroke. He's requesting for me to go and pray for him. Are they no pastors in Cape Coast? He had a vision. So this week, I'll be going to pray for him. We are seeing mobile. And then, with the chino will be there. So into one nanti, a man nanti say. Take it easy. Hey, the one who is low today, tomorrow can become your boss. The one who is broke today, hey, tomorrow you may need his money. You may need his contact. In this life, it's a mystery. Oh. Mama Francisca Duncan Williams yesterday told me when Archbishop went to Nigeria to study, he came back to become a pastor in Pentecost. And Pentecost people said, we don't want you. Today is the father of charismatism. And he's bigger. And Pentecost, they want him. Can they get him? Mama Francisca Duncan Williams told me yesterday, said, my son, when Archbishop went to Nigeria to study in Bible school, when he came back, he was coming to become a Pentecost pastor. And they said, we don't want you. Go. And God birthed the charismatic from him. Let us watch those who despise. Let us be careful people that we have insulted. Let us be careful people we have turned our back on. We must be careful. Even our mates, our friends, our drivers, our sisters, our brothers, our servants, people we walk on. We must be careful. This world is a small world. Am I teaching here today? Love for God. The second is what? Love. When a person walks in love for people, he cannot walk in sin comfortably. Three reasons. Never forget this. Love for people forbids you from doing to others what you don't expect others to do to you. Love for people helps you to walk in the shoes of others and act in that perspective. Jesus speaking, when he was laying his fundamental principles on the mountain of beatitude, Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. You can never be the same after this teaching. Therefore, all things whatsoever you will do that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. They can't want some here. Now we can't call for himself. The greatest murder in Christianity is false accusation. It's the greatest murder. Young man, come to me. My brother, you're my son. Come. Your father died.
Your father died out of stroke because of what? He was one of the fathers of Ghana, right? He had stroke before he died. Tell me some of the experience of your father. Always you tell me how he raised people and they let him down. Tell me in one statement what you saw in the last 40 years that you knew your father passed it. Because I went to your father, he prayed for me. How was his disposition towards church people and some men of God that he raised up who are big in Ghana here, but they never remembered who rose them up? What was one thing that he kept on saying? Huh? A lot. One word. Huh? Be careful of human beings. That's what I wanted him to remember to say. His father is a veteran in the theocratic state of the church. For over 40 to 50 years, those that pioneered the move of God with Enoch Abozo, before the archbishop came, his father was part. And when I went to see the old man in 2016, he kept on saying this: be careful about human beings. Jeremiah says, never put your trust in man. If you cannot kill your own child, why are you killing somebody's child? Why? Why have you destroyed somebody's home? Why have you destroyed somebody's church? Why have you destroyed somebody's business? What you have not seen, you said you have seen it. Are you sure? Jesus said, what you do to others will be done to you. It is lovelessness. Lovelessness that is behind wickedness. That anybody who is wicked does not have love. Anybody does not have love. It's wicked. I said anybody who is wicked does not have love. Number two, anybody who is ungrateful does not have love. Pastoring has taught me so many things. Hey, you will be beat by force. You will learn by force. One young man, I spent over 30,000 Ghana cedi on him. Close to 40,000. When they ask him, hey, we are where the jam I was saying, I say, oh, Eja gave me only 2,000 Ghana. 2,000 Ghana. Said it to three people. Eja, I quite wait, but the way you see Sumi. Oh, yeah, no, wait, no man, only 2,000 Ghana. I said, me, ask my wife. We even borrowed for him. We borrowed. No, my wife verified. We borrowed. We took money from places. I said, I give only 2,000. Let me tell you one thing. Anybody who can easily be blown away by hearsays, you are not a mature Christian. Always listen to also the other side of the story. Don't hate people because of something devilish that somebody told you. Know people for yourself. Will tell you the whole church offering that came Christmas time, that's what we used to buy the wives gone. The whole church, we didn't take it a dime. We used that money to buy the wives gone. And today they say, me and my wife, we are wicked people. Miss me, Obi Bao. Yeah. I will teach you principles for you to become strong in the Lord. So any evil wind that blows cannot take you off your guard.
It is the word of God.
It is in your business,
your career. You meet it every day.
Every day, wherever you go, you meet it. And you must learn how to be strong. Because we are pastors. We can't come and stand here and tell you everything we do. We have become a target. So whatever people say, we have to accept it. But one day we'll bring our notebook like Methodists and come and do expenses here for you to hear. Monies that we give to people. And you open your mouth, and these people are saying all these wicked things about you. You will be shocked. And you say, suffering son, who are you?
Wickedness
is as a result of lovelessness. Wickedness.
How comfortable
would it be for somebody to speak against something you didn't do and present an evil picture of you that is wrong? So do the same.
When we put ourselves in the shoes of others,
life becomes easy. And unrighteousness ceases to be a struggle. Stretch your hands. Say, Father, put genuine love in me. It's like a young girl who has never been married before, and you're talking against married people. You have never been married before. You are talking against married people. Mommy, where the 50? You have not been married before. Where the 100? Where the 20? Where the 30? Don't worry that. Men can't worry for themselves. Because you are not there yet. Mommy, do you understand? It's a long journey. Don't give principles to people they should follow marriage when you are not married before. Because marriage on the tongue is different from marriage in the mouth. Wedding vows is different from the real action. Women have 17,000 emotions. Men have only 2. Are you being blessed today? Am I teaching the Bible? A young man. Oh, get from Akafano, two in your back. Your girlfriend is a prostitute. You're insulting my wife. Everybody knows it's a public prostitute. And when I hear these things, I just smile. Hey, girlfriend, I'll be one, or you're a prostitute. You're insulting me. Insulting my wife. Paya so grassa bahaya. Felia so bahaya. Unia sama. Felia sika numo seya. Be old chasso nims in the church. I say, in law, you have come home. Now say, Obi yiri nime diane ye. You, this in-law, too, you are not married. Why, nails, tinting. Even rice and oil, I'm going to cry on him here. Now, blah, blah, we you know, nime diane here, blah, blah. Are you being blessed today?
Value others
and you will be valued. Appreciate others and you will never depreciate. Where you desire to be, appreciate those who are there so God can make a way for you to be there. I'm telling you, that is the principle. Anybody you desire to become, salute the person, and the grace up there will fall upon you.
You can never get up
when you speak against those up.
you will always stay down. Hey, no matter how right you think you are, you always remain down. It's a principle. It's a principle. This is the word of God. Did you learn?
Yes, sir.
What did you learn in Takoradi?
Spiritual authority.
Spiritual authority.
Yes, sir.
Because of spiritual authority, I came back home. This boy was shocked. He learned humility. I could have chief and also and go and preach. But it will be a mark on me the rest of my life. There are things you do, it is a mark on you. Like this church, you go around polluting people's minds. And now you want to open your own church. With the people that have left your father's church, you want to open your own church. Hey, you will not live long, not even 1 year. It won't last. And there are people who are blindly following it. They know. Everybody knows your story. And you go to people's homes. Let's come together. Let's start a prayer meeting. Then we start a church. From your father's church, you pollute people's mind. Oh, my brother, it can't last. That's why I'm careful. Whatever I'm saying is on air. Because I know I want the whole world to hear it. Look at someone, say, value me and I'll value you.
1 John chapter 4,
verse 8. Let me close quickly. Today I've taught you. The word has entered into you. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. I want Timothy to read this. Read it loud. Read it, Timothy. Read it.
The gospel.
Look at the screen. Read it.
1 John chapter 4, verse 8.
Mm-hmm.
He that loveth not, knoweth not God.
Hello. He that do not love. You don't know God. You don't know God. So ask your neighbor, do you know God? Hit the person strong. Do you know God? Shake the person. Do you know God?
If you don't love, you don't know God.
Don't know God. Don't know God. You don't know God.
1 John chapter 3, verse 5. When you walk in God, when you walk in love,
you are in God.
You are consciously and unconsciously activating a nature.
Because God is love. God does not have love, but he is love.
It is this nature
of God. For God is love. And in that nature is no sin. So when you walk in love,
and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins in him.
It's no sin.
So when you walk in love,
watch this. God is in you. And when God is in you, sin cannot dwell there. Wickedness. So the secret of defeating wickedness is love. Simple. Look at someone and say, let your heart be filled with the love of God. It takes more energy to hate than to love. Let this church be filled with the love of God. Let our homes be filled with the love of God. Let our families be filled with the love of God.
Be filled. Love for people releases to us
the nature of God. And the nature of God is the nature of uprightness.
3C, love for people is the hallmark
for true spirituality. And true spirituality is the basis of true integrity. It is not the length of prayer, the volume of your worship, or the size of your Bible. It is how much of people that you love. It's not choir. No. So in 1 John chapter 4 verse 20, let me close with this. I'll give you the next point on Wednesday. I can tell you a time. Have you been blessed? 1 John chapter 4 verse 20. Watch this. Watch this. Open your eyes wide and watch. 1 John chapter 4 verse 20. Glory be to Jesus.
If a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar.
For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Clap your hands.
God that you have not seen,
you say you love him. But your brother who is sitting next to you, you hate him. What kind of love be that? Look at someone and say, you are a big liar. Love cannot dwell with hate at the same time.
God uses how we treat our neighbors to judge our love for him
and your true spirituality. What you do with people is proof of who you are before God. Be considerate of your neighbor. Always put others first. Don't enjoy people crying around you. Never enjoy it. Okay, I am so sensitive. My wife will tell you. I can be in my room. My wife will be very far away, but I will call her and ask her what is going on with this child or that child. Because the spirit is wired. When we talk of DNA, it's very strong. Spiritual bonding is very strong. So if you are there and somebody is dying around you, you know your sister is suffering, your brother is suffering, and you can do something about it, but you deliberately ignore it, you are a very wicked person. You are not a Christian. Sometimes you come to church, you can tell that Papa not turn, he doesn't have offering. And you have over 2,000 Ghana in your pocket. Not even a 10 Ghana you can give to your neighbor. This is wickedness. And lastly, live with the end in mind. Look at someone say, live with the end in mind. Let me close with this. If you have been blessed, clap your hands unto Jesus.
The consciousness of the end in mind is a major anchor.
Living with the end in mind. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 7. What we are paying attention to most is called dust. Why would you allow this dust to take you to hell? The end must be in our mind. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man to die, and after death, unescapable, unavoidable. You can't escape it, you can't avoid it. This thing is dust. We'll leave it. Praise the Lord. Yesterday they told me one of my nephews, my cousins, who took over my father's throne. My father was an Omahene. My mom told me that his firstborn died. I was shocked. In America, with all the technology. In America, with all the sophistication. In America, with all the medical proficiency. The boy had headache. Morning, he died in the evening. How many times do we eat kopi? We eat junk. We are still alive. It's grace, oh. It's grace. Look at someone says it's grace. I was shocked. It's very, very shocked. Look at someone that have the end in view.
an inescapable appointment,
unavoidable judgment. No man is too intelligent to escape it, too anointed to avoid it. Living with the end in mind, the consciousness of the future accountability imparts continuous consciousness or cautiousness to current activity. So Romans chapter 14 verse 12, my last scripture.
So then every one of us
shall give account of himself to God. Romans chapter 14 verse 12. Every one of us.
The consciousness of the expiration of mercy after death
helps godly living while mercy exists. Lord, have mercy is only meaningful while you are still here. Lord, save me is only meaningful while you are still here. It's only attainable while you are still here. I'm sorry, Lord, makes sense and can secure response while you are still here. After death, no mercy again. There are people that ask for mercy too late, when the dimensional curtains of eternity was closed. Time is up for you to take a U-turn back to God. Don't serve God like he's your girlfriend that you can dump at any time. Serve God like he's the lover of your soul. Stand to your feet. Have you been blessed? Have you received biblical punches? Have you been transformed? Stretch your hands. Say, Father, help me to become better.